Miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Here we come, walking down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys. And people say we monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I see Chris tapping his toe on the other side of the glass.
I'm trying to picture Neil Diamond coming up with these lyrics.
How are you guys not fans of the Monkees?
I like the music. I didn't like the show. I didn't like the TV show.
I think both of you said that you guys were kind of...
No, I liked the show. I said I liked the music. I didn't care for the show.
Neil Diamond didn't write all of their songs. He just wrote, like, I'm a Believer and some of their other big hits.
Oh, okay.
Peter Tork passing away today at the age of 77. So two of the four Monkees are no longer with us. But yeah, I watched the TV. I liked the TV show. Pete didn't, but we both liked their music.
And what do you call a group of monkeys?
Monkees?
No, like you got like
a pack,
a school of fish.
Yeah, right. You call them monkeys. Like if you got three monkeys, you got three monkeys.
Right, they don't have like their own group name.
I don't think so. Well,
like a pack of wolves.
Pete, could you ask Siri? Since I know it's on, you always ask Siri. What's a pack of monkeys?
I'm sorry. Honestly, this is just I'm getting hit by a ton of bricks right now. A good friend of mine. Nick Cafardo, who was very, very well-respected columnist for the Boston Globe, but was covering the Red Sox down here and passed away, 62 years old. This guy is like a legend.
And he was down here?
Yeah, he was covering the Red Sox down here for the Globe. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm just seeing this. So
wow. Sorry to hear that.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. He was a mentor of mine, a lot of other people. He's just was a great, great man, a great columnist, and must have been something very sudden because he was down here. So anyway, I'm sorry.
Probably just got down here just last week, right?
Yeah. That's just happened like seconds ago. So condolences to Nick and his family.
Sorry about that. Phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Coming up in a moment, we'll talk with Jay Jaffe. We'll talk some baseball with him. And get his thoughts on the upcoming season, some rule changes, and some other than contracts still to be dealt, free agents that are still not signed. We will also give four tickets away to the Red Sox preseason opener, which is tomorrow here in Fort Myers at tomorrow against the Northeastern. So we'll have that to give away here on the program as well. Also, big topic of conversation throughout the day. If you're just tuning in, obviously last night's Duke basketball game against North Carolina, Zion Williamson blowing out his shoe from Nike. It was a bad night for Nike. National TV audience, most famous basketball player in college basketball in the world right now, going to be the presumptive number one pick in the NBA draft. You've got Barack Obama sitting in the front row noticing. I mean, everything was all there. And again, Nike's product, just literally the whole bottom of the shoe fell apart when Zion Williamson made a move near the top of the key, planted his left foot, the shoe exploded, and then he did the splits and the strain went to the right leg. He grabbed the back of the right hammy at first and then the back of the right knee. So we didn't know what the injury was at first or whether it was catastrophic or season ending or whatever, they're jeopardizing his first round status of the NBA draft. But we learned afterward it was a quote-unquote mild knee sprain, and they will determine today as we are speaking how long he will be out. There are some that think Zion Williamson shouldn't even play again. There's too much to risk, so why bother? So that's part of our Twin Peaks Twitter poll. We'll update you on that in just a moment. But as I mentioned, Jay Jaffe, the senior writer at Fangraphs, is with us right now. Of course, also his book, The Cooperstown Casebook. We've talked to him about that before. Welcome back to the program. Jay, how are you?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, good. How you doing?
Hey, Jay, I just saw, I know you know Nick Cafardo, and I've done radio shows with him. I'm from New England originally, from Boston, and I'm having a hard time keeping it together right now, I'll be honest with you. This was a great, great man.
Yeah, I you know, I only knew Nick in passing. I did a TV spot with him back in 2006, and back when I was about as green as anybody in the industry. And Nick was very patient. It was a roundtable, and he gave me space to say my thing, even though we looked at the game very differently then, and probably still did. But obviously, a big name in the industry, you know, I know that a lot of the people throughout the industry are just absolutely shocked at this news, which just came over the wire.
Yeah, I was over there on Friday with some friends, and he was down, and I didn't see him. He was always kind of a mentor to me, and obviously a friend, and did shows with him. And you know, if there's a true gentleman in this business, which is very rare, he was one of them.
Yeah. Well, I feel for you, and I feel for everybody who was his friend and his colleague and all that.
Well, Jay, it was down here covering the start of the Red Sox season, and we've got the start of a Major League Baseball season with a lot of players that are still not signed. Look, we had the Manny Machado signing with the Padres this week, 10 years, $300 million. Hey, what were your first thoughts when that came down, and all of a sudden he picked the Padres?
Well, I wasn't surprised, given you know the fact that obviously there were a limited number of suitors in the mix, and it seemed like the Padres were legitimate about their interest. I think in the long run, I think it's a good gambit. I think any team taking a chance on a guy who's 26 years old with the resume that he's got, the durability that he's got, there's a lot to recommend it. I like what the Padres are doing. I think they've got the best farm system in the game. They'll have to come up with some pitching eventually here to augment their cache of position player prospects. But in the long run, I think this is a good move.
Yeah, like you said, I think this team is going to be a wild card contender. I believe that. They're not going to win the division, but I think they're going to make some noise this year. But you know, Machado's numbers outside of Camden Yards, though, are, I don't know, there could be a cause for concern there, though, Jay.
I'm sorry, say that again?
His numbers outside of Camden Yards, Machado, so that could be a cause for some concern anyway, a little bit.
Well, I think the National League West in general is more of a pitcher-friendly division than the American League East, so there's going to be some adjustment. But we saw him hit very well as a Dodger, and I think he'll make the adjustments he needs to make. I think he's going to be an offensive force in San Diego. Obviously, that's a big pitcher-friendly park, but I don't see his offensive production drying up. That power will play anywhere.
All right, with him signed, obviously all eyes on Bryce Harper now. We still know what's going on. By the way, interesting little fun fact I think we found out today about the Nationals, who I think threw $300 million at him a long time ago, and he returned it. But it was a lot of deferred money, and that would lose value over time, and maybe it was the equivalent of $244 million. I throw these numbers around like they're just M&Ms or something, just candies. But nonetheless, any chance he goes back to the Nationals? Do the Phillies come up? I mean, I'm expecting something probably happen now that Machado's done.
Yeah, I think I would still probably put the Phillies or even the Giants ahead of the Nationals, knowing what we know. I mean, that said, Scott Boras has long had a great relationship with the Nationals ownership and with Mike Rizzo. And if anybody's going to figure out a way to find that extra $56 million or whatever it is to close the gap on that deferred money, then I think that they will. Right now, if that's the best they can do, then it's not going to happen. I think the odds are better that he signs in Philadelphia. But boy, I'm as eager to see the end of this saga as anybody, just because I think every day that he and Machado aren't signed is a bad day for baseball in terms of the fact that camps are open and we're talking about this free agent situation and so many other guys out there too, especially Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrell, Marwin Gonzalez, some real top flight players that can help a ball club.
Well, can I follow that up if you don't mind? A lot of complaints that there are 100 free agents not signed. My argument has been, well, wait a minute. We've had Machado and Harper out there asking for, almost $500 million. Let's just tap the brakes. Maybe we needed to let that work out first before we could decide if we could sign the other guys. I think it's more that than all the owners saying, you know what, we're not signing anybody until spring training. Am I off base on my thinking?
Well, I think you have to understand that the top of the market creates a ripple effect all through. And the long, you know, the the longer that players have to wait for contracts, the longer the teams hold out, the more likely prices are to drop. That can have a ripple effect, and of course, every year's salary, I think contains within it the limitations of future earnings. So, you know, this is not just a 1 year thing that can have effect. If a guy signs,
you're all choked up.
Go ahead, get a drink of water. I'll stall for you. It's what I do for a living.
You know, if a guy who could have expected a $15 million a year contract, you know, signs for 2 years and $20 million, or 2 years and $15 million, it's going to be very hard to make the argument that he's worth more than $15 million the next time around. Mm-hmm. It's just that this has the effect of downward pressure, and you know, we're talking about coming off a year in which major league salaries fell for just the fourth time in the last 50 years, and the first time since I believe it's the winter of 2004-05. Mm-hmm. That despite the fact that we had record-breaking revenues 17th year in a row. We're amid a change, and you know, some of it I think we understand the reasons for, and you know, they're above board. Some of it's a bit more nefarious, and all of it is of great concern to the Players Association right now, and should be of great concern to anybody who follows the sport.
I think absolutely, and yeah, the revenue's up because the TV contract money is astronomical, which I find stunning. And I'm a big fan. I'm 52 years old. I'm a baseball guy. I get it. But I do think this sport is in trouble, unless you're, you know, lucky enough for me, Red Sox, you know, Cubs, Dodgers, Yankees, a couple other teams. But, the attendance is horrible. And I know the Marlins and teams like that don't help. Maybe the numbers get skewed a little bit. But, you know, you're talking ballparks with 5,000, 6,000 people in them. I mean, something's not right. All these owners are making money. All these billionaire owners are making money. And they're not spending it. I mean, I think the league's in trouble.
Yeah, I think you know the most recent collective bargaining agreement, which came in 2016 and runs through 2021, really lessened the incentive for teams to win. More of the money goes into revenue sharing, it disincentivizes winning relative to what came before it. It's a lot easier to field a 70-win team with a $70 million payroll and make a handsome profit than it is, you know, to field an 85-win team, you know, while spending twice that much, and endangering your profits. Although I think, you know, they're still pretty substantial. You know, last year we saw each team received a payout of about $50 million for a sale of the portion of BAMTech, MLB Advanced Media's a piece of that, and that money didn't get spent. That money got put in, you know, put under pillows, and we didn't see very many teams actually spend that. Now, as to the attendance problem, I think the attendance problem really comes down to roughly one third of the league not really competing. You know, right. Going through rebuilding or tanking, whatever you want to call it. It's mostly isolated to that, but it is still a problem when you've got that many teams who are doing it at the same time. And I think we have to be careful, you know, that we maybe find new ways to go about handling draft picks and things like that. Maybe you need a lottery system so that if you're losing 100 games, you're not necessarily going to be guaranteed the best pick in the draft if you've cut your roster and your payroll to the bone in order to chase those picks.
Talking with Jay Jaffe, talking some baseball with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. All right, what do you do if you're a small market team, you're trying to struggle with the young guys and make your splash in Major League Baseball, and you go ahead and you draft, a Kyler Murray, and then he decides after you draft in the first round and you've wasted the first round, decides he's going to play football. What do you do if you're the A's? I mean, was that a risky pick at the time in your mind?
Look, I won't pretend to know a hell of a lot about football. In fact, I don't even watch football anymore except for the Super Bowl. But my understanding of it is really that the A's felt reasonably secure that Murray was on a baseball path, but then he just blew up, in his football season, and suddenly that path really opened to him in a way that nobody really thought was likely before. And, you know, given the state of the two sports, I can't fault him for, you know, for making the decision. It's going to be, you know, 4 or 5 years before he makes the kind of money that he could see almost instantly in football. Yes, it's a, you know, the A's took a risk. They thought it was a much lower risk, and my understanding is it was a much lower risk at the time, but, you know, circumstances changed based on his advanced skills in football.
You know, you brought up Craig Kimbrel before. Kimbrel is one of the guys that I am stunned at that has not been signed yet. I was hoping the Red Sox would pick him back up again because I thought after that phone call that was made to whoever in the postseason where he really straightened it out was basically unhittable, like his last four appearances, whatever it was, if I remember correctly. I mean, unhittable. And I maybe when closes were a hot commodity about 8 years ago, he maybe make $25 million a year today. But I'm stunned that he has not been signed by anybody yet. Absolutely stunned. Almost as much, you know, Harper Machado was kind of on a different level, but really the next guy is him. I'm blown away that he's not on the team yet.
Well, I think he's hitting the mark at the wrong time. You know, he was said to be seeking a nine-figure contract, $100 million or more. You know, I think that just wasn't going to happen in this current environment where, you know, we understand that relievers are just, you know, not really all worth that much money. You know, if he had been seeking a contract at the time that Aroldis Chapman and Kenley Jansen got their $85-86 million deals, he probably would have surpassed both of those guys. But right now, you know, I think he's going to be out of luck. And you know, the Red Sox are an obvious fit in that they have a need for closer, but every dollar that they spend right now costs them about a $1.40 or $1.50 because of all the taxes at the level they're at, and that's a real problem for them. They're already well over the limit as repeat offenders and figure to trigger some increasing penalties if they're adding another, you know, $20 million salary to their payroll. I think he's going to have to go for a very short-term, high average annual value type contract where, you know, he comes away. Maybe it's something in excess of what Wade Davis got last year, which was 3 years and $52 million. Maybe he's a $20 million closer for 3 years and $60 million. I don't see how he's going to get to the level that he expected at the outset of the winter, and I expect he's going to have to figure that out pretty soon.
Jay, a lot of talk about rules changes, whether it be a uniform DH or maybe relief pitchers coming in and facing a minimum of three batters. But the one rule change it looks like they've settled in on has to do with stealing signs. What are your thoughts on where they're at in tweaking the game?
You know, I haven't actually had a chance to see the proposal when it comes to that. But I do know that sign stealing is more than a century old. You know, no matter what kind of rules you set down, there will always be people looking for a loophole. You know, somebody with binoculars, somebody with an eye in the sky, I don't know what. But there will always be efforts to break the code, you know, and gain that slight advantage. I don't think that that's going to be a real major issue. You know, I don't even think a pitch clock that we're going to be experimenting with in spring training is going to do a whole lot. You know, I think that you know, the three batter minimum for the reliever that's been proposed is probably not going to catch on or get approved. You know, I think what really needs to be done is some reconsideration and reconfiguration of the strike zone to kind of retilt the batter pitcher balance. Maybe adjusting that low strike zone a little bit. We've seen you know, the game address a lot of imbalances this way, most notably, obviously, after the 1968 season when pitching was so dominant. I think you can look at experimenting with the height of the mound as well. But I think we have to make sure that we're not taxing pitchers too much because the physical burden on them is already very high. But I think you do want to help out the batters a little bit and restore some balance here.
Yeah, I mean, you're losing a big chunk of the younger generation. I mean, this is the home runs or strikeouts, the ball. They got to figure out some way to get more balls in play. Because
yeah, you know, it's interesting. One of my former colleague, Travis Sochik, who now writes for 538.com, just published a study, and it shows that last year there were more foul balls than hits. You know,
wow.
So it's you know, pitchers going deeper into counts and batters having to you know, take emergency hacks and foul those balls off, and that, you know, that's real, you know, no action at all. And you know, when you're talking about a playoff game when the tension is high, you know, I think there's some entertainment value there, but garden variety, just watching two strike foul ball after two strike foul ball, that's monotonous and exhausting, and you know, I don't know how we address that, but that's part of the problem too.
Well, Jay, as we get closer to opening day, we'd like to have you back on again. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you.
All right, sure. Thank you.
Sounds great. Jay Jaffe, the senior writer for FanGraphs, and of course he's got a book out there that we've talked about before, the Cooperstown Casebook, which is an interesting read. So thank you to him for coming on. Any comments about the baseball season, you can give us a call. In fact, Chris, why don't we cap this off by giving away four tickets to tomorrow's preseason opener, Red Sox and Northeastern here in Fort Myers. Let's do caller number 9 at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Caller number 9 going out to the ballpark tomorrow. Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Thanks for checking us out here on a Thursday afternoon. Just got to talk some baseball with Jay Jaffe. Rick Harrell will be next hour, our sports business insider. Lots to talk to him about. Nike, the financial fallout, if there is any, with their product blowing out on national TV with Zion Williamson getting hurt. And the AAF Football League needing a $250 million infusion at the last second last week just to meet payroll in between weeks 1 and 2, among the things we will discuss with him. Spent a lot of days so far talking about the Duke North Carolina game, Shoegate, Junkgate, ESPN showing naked players in the background at the North Carolina, or naked player, yeah, the North Carolina Tar Heel locker room last night on live TV. Doesn't seem to be a lot of mainstream hubbub about that, although if you look, it's out there, Twitter and other websites and whatnot.
Don't Google it.
No, you don't, probably don't want to Google it, especially if you're at work. Also, congratulations to Fred in Fort Myers. He was called number 9. He's going to go see the Red Sox preseason opener against Northeastern tomorrow.
Fred, Drop Dead Fred, funny movie.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that was his nickname, because we got our nicknames up on texters and callers.
Nah, it's a terrible nickname. Good movie, though.
Drop Dead. What movie is that?
That's funny. It's a spoof on
Drop Dead Fred.
It's a spoof on Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh. Maybe. Okay. I don't know.
I missed that one. All right, so with all the basketball talk, we want to talk a little football. We haven't gotten to this yet. So Case Keenum, who, remember, signed a two-year, $36 million deal a year ago to be the starting quarterback for the Broncos, was a disappointing 6-10, finished in the bottom 10 in NFL QBR.
18 touchdowns, 15 picks, interceptions, tied for second, 3,890 yards.
He said he was shocked when John Elway made the trade for Joe Flacco. Shocked!
He's the only one.
He had the little sit-down with John Elway. He said Elway was cool. He explained it to him, even though he didn't have to. Although, you know, all day long I thought, Case Keenum, what are you shocked about? You stunk it up. They had to go in a different direction. But then I got to thinking to myself, I spent a lot of time on this radio show talking about how Case Keenum and Joe Flacco are the same player. Statistically, they are. Very factual. Look him up over the last 5 years.
Except for age.
Yeah, there's that.
Well, that's a big factor.
And a Super Bowl ring. Well, Flacco's older, right?
Well, yeah, yes, he's older.
So, So you brought in an older guy who has the same numbers as me. Maybe I would scratch my head if I'm Case Keenum. I can understand it if I got beat out by, if he brought in like a better quarterback, but they brought in the same guy.
Well, they couldn't bring in a better quarterback. Who are they going to bring in?
What do they have in the draft? The 8th pick? 10th pick? Yep. Something like that?
I don't know.
I'm just
spitballing. And I'm not convinced they won't draft a quarterback that pick either.
Joe just turned 34. Case just turned 31.
Yep.
All right.
But how about this, Case Keenum? How about maybe this lights a fire under your butt? Maybe you play better. I mean, his contract is ridiculous. And he counts $21 million against the salary cap for this season. Flacco is 18.5. So, Look, if they draft a quarterback, then I think Case Keenum is going to be dealt. If they don't, you know, then it's good good friendly competition, and Fangio will made the best guy win, right? Because it will be a competition. Flacco's not going to go down without swinging.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what Case Keenum's made out of. So, man, it's a lot different here than it was in Minnesota.
Like you said, if this is college, you just want to transfer.
Yeah, that's right. He'd be in the transfer portal today because he don't want to compete for his job. That's how it goes in college.
Love the transfer portal.
Do you? How long has that existed?
Tate Martell. What the hell's going on?
I just learned about it, a month ago?
I think it's only been in existence this year. I didn't know anything about it.
Tweak it already.
I've never heard of the transfer portal before Justin Fields, and then...
It's like a wormhole.
It's a way you put your name in. Hey, I'm open for business, and that allows other schools to be interested in you without tampering.
You beam from one school to the other. It's like Star Trek.
Pretty much what it's like. All right, well...
But for Keenum to be shocked.
Shocked!
How are you shocked when you were at the bottom of the league?
And definitely disappointed, quote unquote.
Shocking.
And chagrined. As Jackie Childs would say.
Feel shocked.
Put it on the poll. Who was more shocked? Zion Williamson when his shoe blew up or Case Keenum when he found out Joe Flacco was coming?
Case Keenum.
but what did Case Keenum expect? Do you think they were just going to sit there and do nothing? Well, he has a job. Now he has to fight a little harder for it.
How much of his 30s? Okay, so he's going to make 18 mil. How much does
21 kinda, mil against the cap and 18? Flacco's 18 and a half.
It's kind of low for quarterback money today. How much is guaranteed on Case? Wasn't Case?
Well, Case had 2 years and 36 mil.
Was it guaranteed
last March?
Case Keenum.
Coming up a year ago, signed a 2 year, $36 million.
Was it guaranteed? Deal. It was not, I don't think.
I thought a lot of it was, if I remember correctly.
I remember Kirk, and I remember
anyway, it's 21
Smith
mil against the cap for 2019.
So we have real numbers.
Well, it's 21 mil against the cap this year. Flacco's 18 and a half mil against the cap. So, yeah, I think Case Keenum should worry about being traded. I think it's a possibility.
Just a rolling stone.
This season, Case Keenum is an $18 million base salary with $7 million guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Seven guaranteed. All right.
But his salary is 21 mil against the cap.
Sure. Right. They backloaded the cap hit. Another brilliant move by John Elway.
No roster bonus, no workout bonus.
Nothing. I don't even know how
accounts,
how does he even get out of bed?
He accounts for 11, just over 11% of the salary cap.
Well, for a quarterback, that's fine.
Well, yeah, but you throw in Joe Flacco.
Right.
See what he is.
Probably another 7%. It's Von Miller that's chewing up their cap hit.
Yeah, but he's worth it.
Yeah, but he's not happy there. I thought there was a chance he might be dealt here in the offseason.
He's not happy there because the offense can't get a first down.
Yeah. It's part of the problem. He's always on the field, doesn't get a rest.
Joe Flacco. It's all guaranteed. Oh. 18.
Flacco's all guaranteed at 18. All right.
So they have Keenum, and the other quarterback they have is, besides Flacco, is what, Kevin Hogan.
So he's 13.9. Joe Flacco's 13.9% of the salary cap. Keenum was 11.1% of the salary cap, so that is
24%.
Yeah.
That's about normal, right?
And Kevin Hogan, who I don't
remember.
High.
It's a little high.
I think 18% is the number guys like to stay at.
Kevin Hogan, 6'3", 26 years old, been in the league 3 years out of Stanford. He's their other guy. Do you remember him at Stanford? I don't.
239 asks who Case was throwing to last year. I think trying to defend him.
I'll tell you who he was throwing to. The other team.
15 times.
15
times in 16 games.
He's got Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah.
Is it Cortland Sutton? He was the rookie last year. I thought he came on once they dealt Demaryius Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that.
And their offensive line was brutal.
But no, well, he had a Pro Bowl running back behind him. Philip Lindsay had a very good year as a running back.
Sean Hamilton, Tim Patrick, like you said, Sutton, River Crack, Crackcraft, which is the dumbest name ever.
How do you spell it? What? Crack?
Crackcraft, C-R-A-C.
Crackcraft.
Like the first name Crack?
C-R-A-C-R-A-F-T. River. Fact.
Craft.
That's
out of Washington State.
That's a little weird.
Rookie.
Oh, Sanders did ruptured Achilles, but that was later in the season, I thought.
Really? Yeah. It wasn't a good year. Just I don't care how you get it.
Again, the surprise, Philip Lindsay at running back, right? I mean, undrafted.
He was really good. Pro Bowl.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Probably best rookie running back in that class.
That takes a lot of pressure off
you. I didn't forget Saquon Barkley.
Which takes a lot of pressure off you, Case. A lot. You got a running back like that, can't be throwing 15 picks and 18 touchdowns. That's awful. I'm sorry.
In other NFL news, Todd Haley, former offensive coordinator with the Steelers, and then the Browns, and I presume still unemployed, right? Did he get picked up? Or did he? Yeah. He said Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are two of the Steelers' hardest workers. Just trying to add his little 2 cents into the mix. Everybody wants to bash those players. Look, I don't deny for a minute that Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell worked hard. And in fact, quite the contrary. I'm sure they did. They do. That's how Antonio Brown made himself into who he is. Le'Veon Bell, always a hard worker. Never heard any issues about that.
No, not at all. People, teammates loved him. Overall, from all accounts, a nice man. Never met the man. But
Ben Roethlisberger doesn't like him, so Antonio Brown's gone.
Well, is it disturbing at all what Kevin Colbert said yesterday about Ben Roethlisberger, basically giving him total autonomy to do whatever and say whatever he wants, whenever he wants?
After saying you're going to trade your superstar all-pro wide receiver and you're not going to franchise tag your running back, who is quite good, and then you come out and say, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger, he's got the juice and the leadership to criticize anybody, myself included, Mr. GM. Mm-hmm. He can criticize anybody, but these other guys can't. A smooth ship over there in Pittsburgh.
How about who criticizes Ben?
Me?
Well, besides
Ben.
The media.
You?
Ben.
The media?
Ben.
Ben. Oh, yeah. Ben says I don't have it anymore. Maybe I should just quit.
Retire.
And then he asked for a contract extension 6 months later. Oh, and this is good news for you, Chris. The Mike Tannenbaum era looks like it is officially over. Remember, they parked him, right?
Yeah.
They didn't fire
him. They demoted him.
They parked him.
You're right. They demoted / parked him, yes.
Now he's going to be gone for good, and it looks like he's joining the Cardinals. Mike Tannenbaum, Cardinals.
Where'd you see this?
I don't know.
All right.
I printed it.
That guy.
I can't remember
building.
Which website. I think on Topic Pulse, and I think so. It's semi-local,
right.
Probably out of Miami. Mike Tannenbaum will soon be a former Miami Dolphin executive, reads the headline. There you go.
I love it.
Stephen Ross is making moves.
Well, that
I mean, you
knew that was coming, though. You knew that was
sure.
coming.
You talk about
I feel bad for the Cardinals.
You talk about addition by subtraction. This is it right here.
Yeah?
Guy can tear down a roster quicker than anyone I've ever seen.
Opens the door for the Dolphins.
Let's go talk to the Jets about that guy.
Well, shouldn't you keep him then in your tank mode?
No,
you
because
just said he can
signed,
tear down
he
a roster.
Signs terrible contracts.
Oh, that's the problem.
Awful contracts.
So you're not getting skinny. You're just getting worse.
Right.
I feel you.
Right.
Okay. That's all good.
Yeah, good luck, Cardinals.
Yeah. Tough sled.
Josh Rosen.
Well, Cliff Kingsbury, you know, not a lot of connections in the NFL. Got to take who you can get,
so you got
right?
A coach with no experience.
Take who you
On the mediocre coach.
You got
in college,
right, and the guy that turned down Baker Mayfield, and you've got a quarterback that hasn't proven himself yet.
I don't count last year because that to me.
Okay, then it's like this year's his rookie year all over again.
Basically,
it's not a good situation. Is what I'm saying.
I think it's like Goff and Fisher. I think you got to cut him a little bit of slack because Fisher just destroyed that kid the first year, and I think that. Wilkes did the same thing to Rosen. So let's see what. But we don't know what Kingsbury's. I don't know what he's going to do.
And then you got
he underachieved with two great quarterbacks. We agree on that in college.
Yeah,
underachieved.
Sure,
with two great quarterbacks.
Well, he let Baker go because he had Graham Harrell.
Yeah,
and then
Pat Mahomes,
and then Patrick Mahomes. All right, that sounds fair. Sounds good. All right, 239-337 ESPN is the number. We get back a little NBA talk. There's still some sound we haven't gotten to yet. The Kyrie Irving thing, I want to hear. It seemed like it was interesting.
Well, at least he's off the world as flat thing.
For now.
That Duke education.
Yeah. And we'll update you on the latest with Tiger out in Mexico, the World Golf Championship. So all that coming up. And Rick Harrell will join us at 5 o'clock. It's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Down in the Mexicali.
And the 99.3 ESPN app. Down in Mexicali. Is that got to do with Tiger and his golfing outing today? Is that where we're going?
Yeah.
A nice little bridge. All right. How is Tiger doing, by the way?
Just bogeyed.
That's not good.
He's even.
But you know, my first round theory. Yeah, I mean,
well, it's not a theory. It's statistical analysis.
And it's spot on, correct?
His first round scoring average is his worst.
Craig is offended by
worst
it.
Round.
Well, I made it the point last week when he fought for just to get, I think, one under and was six strokes down. And what did he end up losing by? I mean, he got into the top five over the weekend, but had he not had the horrible first round, and I use the word horrible in quotes, I mean, you know, whatever.
Well, it's all
same thing for today.
It's all comparable.
He's floating around all even. And, you know, he could have got on a run and be, you know, four, five, six under like the rest of the good guys. Then he could be old Tiger again until he comes out of the box swinging on Thursdays. He's not going to be old Tiger. He's going to be just new, slightly competitive and interesting Tiger, not winning Tiger.
There's a story that's coming out right now from Channel 12 in Pittsburgh.
Breaking news?
No, I don't know what's breaking.
We haven't had the
headline.
Sound all
photos
week.
Show minor injuries to victim in alleged Antonio Brown domestic violence case.
Mm.
And then the story goes on. Yep, and there
photos
there
of
they
the,
are.
The female.
Of course, TMZ Sports has it.
Is this the baby mama?
Antonio Brown recently accused of committing domestic violence against the mother of his child. He was not charged or arrested with a crime, but now TMZ obtained and revealed photos which show the injuries sustained by the woman. The photos show a small scrape on her arm, which was initially described by police officers as an abrasion with some scabbing. And the truth is, the injury is extremely minor. The woman even attempted to withdraw her police report. I'm looking at it, you know.
Mr. Big Chest, tough guy around the ladies, huh?
But it looks like a whatever it is. It's a picture, and it's a picture of a little bruise. It looks like it. If you were looking at it, I mean, who knows? But there's definitely a bruise there.
Yeah. All right. Well, we were talking about that last segment about Todd Haley saying he's a hard worker and all that, but the classic pain in the rear off the field and sometimes in the locker room.
And I think and I am absolutely more and more convinced that no way Antonio Brown is forcing any sort of bad move by the Steelers. It ain't going to happen.
Well, we're going to be talking about the more pictures that come out like that, you're not going to get a first round for him.
I'm still surprised we never saw a picture of the couch he flung off that 8 or 9 story building onto the ground that nearly hit a child.
Bad
we never
reporting.
Saw pictures of that.
Bad reporting. Somebody should have got that.
Yeah, absolutely. All but right. I don't think he's going anywhere. And eventually, unless somebody offers a first or a second round pick, I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. I don't.
Because he's under contract for 3 more years. That's kind of the same theory I had with Anthony Davis. I'd make him play if I were the Pelicans. Speaking of the NBA, there was the video during the All-Star break over the weekend. Kyrie Irving was talking to Kevin Durant in the tunnel underneath. Everybody's speculating, are they going to be teammates? Are they not? Somewhere else? Maybe New York? Anyway, a reporter asked Kyrie Irving about it, and he started getting into it with the reporter. Let's take a listen.
I'm speaking to you. It's out there. You want to cool it off?
I
would. People are running with it, saying, "Yeah."
Yeah, people,
but we haven't written about it. We're like, that's we're coming to you to ask you about it. Okay.
And people like who then?
Well, it's all over the internet.
Do you look? Is the internet real for you in your life?
Oh,
it's my life, right? It's two people talking, having a conversation. If this was a real world, would it be anybody else's business? But it's a video of somebody assuming what we're talking about, right?
I hear you.
Making an opinion about it. So why would I care about it?
Okay. I kind of don't blame Kyrie.
Although
the comment about is the internet real for you after the flat earth comment, wrong person
please.
To be saying that.
Yeah.
But
it's so ridiculous on his part. If this were the real world, it's not, Kyrie. If this were the real world, you wouldn't be getting paid millions and millions of dollars to bounce a ball.
Just dribble.
You get paid that money because of the media.
And he starts talking about the media ruining locker rooms. He's full of crap. I mean, he's, you know.
Right, there's
more. I think he's playing tonight.
Kyrie Irving on what he does with his life is no one's business but his own.
What I do with my life is my business. So it's none of yours, none of anybody's. It's not anybody's business, right? So it's a video of me and one of my best friends talking. And then it turns out to be a dissection of a free agency meeting. You get that? Like, do you get that? And then I'm asked questions about it. Like, that's what disconnects me from all. Like, because I have no connection to that. Like, over a video, I'm asking a question about the fans. You brought up the fans. Come on, man.
What I'm saying
makes
no sense.
All right, more.
I mean, I get some of that. Yeah, I get that. By the way, USA Today Sports is just reporting now the NBA submitted to the NBA Players Association a formal proposal that will lower the draft eligible age to 18 from 19.
Thank you.
The person requested
anonymity. What year does that take effect?
Because he was not authorized to publicly discuss discussions between the league and the union. League and union head, yeah, which probably next year.
Okay. And, Chris, for our listeners who are just tuning in, could you play the mind-blowing soundbite from LeBron James, how now, with 23 games after the All-Star break, 23 games to go, they're a game below 500, 3 games out of the playoff chase, now's the time for him to actually start trying, which is a little early for him? Take a listen to this.
My level of intensity has to be, now, unfortunately for me, because I don't like to do it at such an early time.
What?
I'm a little bit different.
Prima donna.
But it's been activated, so look forward to seeing what we can do.
Superpowers activated. Yeah. Here we go. We're going to try. Don't like to do it this early, whatever that means, but I got to start earning my money.
No follow-up. How do you not follow that up? By the way, it's 2022 they're looking at for this move from 1918. But to give teams ample time to prepare for the change. If you're a Laker fan, does that upset you? Probably not.
As a sports fan, I'm upset that people aren't giving their all every night. That's how I am. I'm sorry. It's how I was raised. I know it's hard to do.
A professional athlete to bust balls every night.
Yes. No, and I know you're going to have bad nights.
Dare
I know
you.
Some nights you're going to be
a
little tired.
Still try.
You got to try. That's all I want. I want you to try. Like, for example, North Carolina and Duke sucked from the perimeter last night, but at least they were trying. They were shooting the ball 59 times.
North Carolina was. Duke didn't try all that hard.
One team tried.
Duke didn't try that hard in the game. That's a fact.
We'll be back to talk about that. Junk Gate, in case you missed the live TV sneak peep show on ESPN last night. And a few other things up our sleeves. So 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776 is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.